Hey guys, you're tuning into the Outlander After Show. It's so good to see you. Yeah!
You're tuning in to the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
That was the best.
Hello, everyone! Welcome to the Outlander After Show on AfterBuzz TV. This is Season 3. Episode 5, Freedom and Whiskey. I'm Adrian Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrian Snow. And these are my fellow co-hosts.
I'm Emily Harlan. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at OMG. It's MLE.
And I'm Rachel Goodman. You can follow me on Instagram or Twitter at Rach Goodman or Facebook at Rachel Ann Goodman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. a little end joke for you YouTubers. Okay, so first thoughts.
You know, this episode, I wouldn't say it's my favorite of this season. Mm-hmm. It was a little slow for me. I think maybe I'm just lacking that Jamie. I needed more Jamie, feel like. But I felt that my attention was kind of not always there throughout the episode. So I thought it was an okay episode. Obviously, I think we needed it to show Claire getting to the point that she did. Mm-hmm. So I understand the episode. But for me, it was a little slow.
Mm-hmm. I personally, as you know, like Brianna's character, yes. So I really liked seeing how they got from, you know, point A to point B, as long as it ended where it did with Jamie. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I would have been frustrated, mm-hmm. but yeah. I liked the ending.
No, yeah, it was a bit slow, even though I think last week or the week before we did mention something about how it was a lot of Jamie heavy the first half of the season, and so even though it was supposed to be Claire's story, so... While I was kind of frustrated, because I'm not a big fan of the Brianna character, I understood, like, okay, well, this is kind of, we're getting back to it being her story and her journey, and I appreciate that. But yes, the whole time I was like, and when can I see Jamie? Yeah. And why is this taking so long? And now she has information. What are you waiting for? You were going to do it a week ago. So,
yeah. Can I ask a question, too? Why is it that Claire looks like she was aged more than him?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know why they did it like that. Because to me, with, you know, cause she has the gray hair, mm-hmm. she looks like, I don't know, they did her makeup differently. Mm-hmm. And Jamie just kind of looks like he did back in season 2.
I don't know if Jamie's also supposed to be younger than Claire. I believe he is.
Yeah. And I wonder if it's something with the timelines, too, has the same amount of time passed on his end as it has on mm-hmm. hers. Okay. So mm-hmm. then it has to be something other than that.
Yeah.
But...
Yes, I just kind of noticed that. Yeah,
just really hot.
Yeah,
I think maybe that's it. Maybe they're like, well, just want to make sure it's a lot of women watch the show, and he's eye candy. So I don't know. I would go with the assumption that he is younger than her. I would say by a decade or so. At least that's what I always imagined, that he was like in his 20s when she was in her 30s.
Yeah,
when,
that's true.
When she first came. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we. We start off the episode back with Claire, mm-hmm. and she's kind of getting back into her life, and Brianna is flunking out of college for no reason other than that she's just not feeling it. Yeah. I don't know. How did everyone feel about...
See, I understood why she would be. Mm-hmm. She's just, this big news has been dropped in her lap, and mm-hmm. I think she's struggling with the fact that another man who she loves raised her. But he's not actually her biological father.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I understand that, but at this point, it's already been, what, 2 or 3 years? I guess, yes, it is a newer discovery that over the summer. And I guess, yeah, it's been 3 months since they left Scotland, that over the summer she found out that her father was not her father. But
plus, it's Christmas time, and maybe it's probably just harder for that reason alone.
Yeah, there's nostalgia for it and everything. Yeah, I get it, but there's something about acting out that I kind of just like, oh, you're 20. Like, okay, maybe if you were a freshman.
Yeah.
But you're definitely like sophomore, junior. Like, come on, don't do this.
Yeah. Like, and you're like at Harvard, too.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't something
true.
Where you're just like in high school and you're like, oh, mm-hmm. this teen angst. Like, mm-hmm. I get it. And it's obviously was super like life altering for Brianna, right? And she was mm-hmm. very close to Frank. So now this is something that's, you know, shocking to her. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like, all right. You had the news. You had a couple months to, like, let this sink in, and you're at Harvard, so mm-hmm. maybe let's not throw away everything, right? Like, I don't know. That was kind of frustrating for me to see, but, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I understand it to a certain extent, but it's also one of those things of, like, well, then that would be something where, and, you know, maybe it is about emotional development of being able to say, I need to take a leave of absence. I need to get some stuff done in my own personal life before I can come back to school.
Yeah.
But we also kind of know that this isn't the most emotionally developed family. So at least, you know, as a collective, in terms of how they deal with talking about these things with each other.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we also get to see Claire actually do surgery for the first time. I was like, oh, this is nice. She's actually, like, really good at it and kind of daring. And I wish, that was my one thing, I wish we had seen more of that throughout the season. I don't know how you all felt about actually getting to see it for the first time.
I agree with you. Just seeing her, you know, it kind of struck me, too, when they were watching the moon, what was that, the Apollo 8 video? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, there's all the women there, and they're all nurses. You can tell by what they're wearing that they're all nurses. Mm-hmm. And then there's Claire there, that who's a surgeon. And it was such, like, kind of an empowering thing and just really added to her character and her character depth that I wish we did see more of that, because that's something that I think is obviously was not that big back in her time, right? She obviously had to struggle a lot to get to the point that she did get to. So I wish we did get to see more of that and see her in her element. And that's how she started, you know, when she was in the war before she even met Jamie. So I wish we could have seen that side of her a little bit more.
And I agree with that. I also think we had touched on this maybe a couple weeks ago about how we all wanted to see her struggle from how she went from med student to actually working as a surgeon. And, yeah, I would have wanted to see more of that. I would have wanted to see more of how it tore her away from her family, from Brianna especially, so I could have seen their dynamic. Because now I don't, from watching the show, I can't tell what it really was like other than just how Brianna was reacting at the end of season two.
Yeah. That's, I think, a big thing is that it's hard for me to connect to the characters of Brianna and Roger because I don't have a lot of time with them. I think even last season, you know, she would come in a few little episodes here and there. And so, like, the collected amount of time you spend with Brianna is probably maybe an episode and a half, really. Like, or I guess with this episode, so, like, 2.5 episodes over 2 seasons. And I feel like that's just kind of why I don't really have that much investment or care as much, which is sad because she's obviously, like, Jamie and Claire's daughter. But I just don't feel like... I don't know. I'm like, I don't understand what the holdup is, Claire. You know, just go. But being a jerk.
At the same time, if Claire had just gone, I would have questioned her as a mother.
Exactly.
So I'm glad she had that scene.
Definitely, definitely. But with that said, we do have Roger coming in and playing. They played, oh gosh, it was a really good song, and I didn't get a chance to look it up because I had to go straight to work.
The taxi
after.
Song?
The taxi song.
I wrote it down.
Yes.
It was Show Me by Joe Tex.
Yeah, so it was a really just kind of cute little song about, like, a man being good to a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't always get to hear those songs nowadays. But so we get Roger, and he's, like, made this, like, really daring decision to show up unexpected for Christmas and say hello to Brianna and Claire, and he has information for Claire, which we don't know yet, but he walks into this big blow-up and dust-up up between them, which seems like they just don't know how to avoid, and Brianna decided to just drop out of Harvard and move out.
Yeah, that scene, when I really like Roger, and I really like, well, his character, and I really like the actor as well, so when he showed up like that, the whole time I was just thinking, hello, like, boyfriend goals, right? Like, what, like, the whole time, I'm like, this guy, gosh, like, just so, I don't know, I love, it seems like everything he does is just for Brianna, and for, just out of the goodness of his heart, I love him. But, and then when he walked in on that scene, and then Brianna, like, left, I was like, come on.
Yeah, like, I was annoyed with that, too.
I know, I'm like, I understand she's going through a lot right now, but this guy just flew from Scotland to just show up at your doorstep, like, just at least maybe hang out for a little bit, right, before you just leave. Like,
we'll hang out tomorrow.
See ya. that kind of bothered me. I was like, come on, Brianna, come on.
You know, she's young.
See, and that's the thing.
I'm gonna say that.
The thing with her, too, for me, is that, first of all, whenever she fights with Claire, it kind of reminds me, in a way, of how Claire would always fight with Jamie, because it's two, like, very, you know, like, opposing forces.
Yeah.
But with Brianna, I do kind of respect the fact that she would say, I'm just going to drop out, because at least she's not going to waste the time when she's not ready. And I feel like, I know this is 1968, but I feel like that's a big problem anyway with kids going to college when they shouldn't be in college yet because they're not ready. So I actually respected her making that decision.
Yes.
I thought they had already taken, she had already taken a gap year, but I could be wrong. I apologize. I don't have time to rewatch season two before season three starts. So with that said, I understand her need to take a leave, or I don't really understand dropping out if you can take a leave of absence, but fine. Okay. It's just a lot of money in my mind to waste. But with that said, yeah, I didn't agree with Brianna walking out, but it did give us the opportunity we needed to have Roger sit down with Claire, and they have dinner, and he gets to say, hey, I found him. Not like I couldn't have done this through a phone call.
Yeah, or like lead with that,
or
maybe.
Or a letter. You know.
Come running in with the letter in hand.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, Merry Christmas. I found your husband. And so we get to see that he's made it thus far, and his name is now, Alexander Malcolm Still. And the way that they find him is that he's using, what's the term? I can't think of it. But he's basically using things out of his time. So phrasing out of his time and using the quote from Robert Burns and then saying freedom and whiskey gang together, which, as we know from last episode, that was a term used in the 60s in Scotland. And that's how Claire ended up adopting it. Or even before then, I guess, because she used it back in the 40s. It was a modern term, is what I'm trying to say. And that's how they find him. So how did you guys feel when I was like, oh, okay. I didn't think it was going to be that way. I thought it was going to be something that they found in the house.
It could be because of how they did it. Because I like the fact that they found it in an article. And I like how they used the poem. It just seemed too abrupt. And it seemed like they didn't really build up to that. It just seemed too easy to me. Otherwise, I kind of like how they used it.
Yeah, I like the kind of tie-in from last week's episode when we saw the woman quoting that quote, saying that quote, whatever.
Freedom and Whiskey.
Yeah. So I liked how they kind of tied that in, and that was kind of what brought her around, and that was the clue that brought her to Jamie. So I liked that. Yeah. But yeah, I wasn't expecting it to be like that either. I didn't think that it was going to be something where they saw what he had written, and I think that's, on Roger's part, good for him to really connect the dots on that, because that's something that I thought when they found him, it was going to be like just complete, like obvious evidence, right? But for him to kind of connect the dots and say, like, there's no way, like, this has to be him kind of thing, I thought was pretty cool. So, I don't know, I liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was a savvy way to do it. I just thought it was going to be a little bit more tied into Frank and how they found Jamie, that he had been doing the research. But sorry, Frank, you didn't get to be the hero in the long run.
He did get a tribute.
You did get a tribute, which we will get to. But with that said, Claire decides that she can't go back. She can't leave Brianna, especially when she's going through all that she's going through right now, and that she's just going to keep doing her job, and that's going to be the end of it. And through this, we actually get some really nice scenes with her and Joe Abernathy, which I've been kind of waiting for. Like, oh, is he going to get it? Are we going to get some Joe Abernathy? And, and I was really relieved that they also didn't make it like a sexual tension.
Me too.
Just because it didn't seem necessary and I didn't really want that. And I think it's always important for Claire to have a confidant in whichever time she's in.
Yeah.
And so for him to kind of be the one that she could somewhat confide in and say, like, yeah, you know. Brianna's father is in Scotland and Frank's not his father or her father, and he was like, yeah, we know you're not, you know, the perfect couple for Ozzy and Harriet.
Yeah.
Even though, didn't Ozzy and Harriet, weren't they, like, wasn't he abusive? Anyways. I'm like, wait a second.
We have weird a couple quote. Of comments in the chat. So, Eric Jackson says, loved the way they found Jamie, and I think he's referencing how we're talking about with the poem. He goes, easy. Dude noted that two lines from a poem were used before the author wrote them.
That's what we were talking about. That's you know, huge on Roger's part to be able
to pick that up
and to put those dots together, you know? Yeah.
And then we have Terry Drosselmeyer. In the book, she tells Joe the truth.
Ooh,
interesting.
Oh, the full truth. Oh, wow.
Huh, that would have been really interesting to see, mm-hmm. but maybe they didn't have time.
Well, Terry, does he believe her? Because that's something. I mean, if somebody just out of the blue, I don't care what how good of a friend you are, if you tell me that you time travel through stones, I don't know that I'm going to believe you.
Yeah. This person's a doctor?
Show me.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I would need some type of other evidence, but...
she says yes, that Joe does believe her.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, you know, I think there's to a certain extent where you would finally be like, okay, I'm going to choose to believe you on this. Or if the details are so precise that I'd probably be like, well, yeah, it sounds like you've been there.
Yeah, I do like going back to what we were saying that they are just friends in this because I was worried when they first met and they first kind of developed the relationship on the show from what we can see. I was worried that it was going to kind of turn into that for him or for her. It was just going to kind of be like this weird, awkward thing. So I like that they never went there, that it was always very plain, that it was always just a friendship thing. And I really liked that. I thought it was good, like you said, for Claire to have somebody that she can kind of feel like she can talk to because she doesn't really have anyone, right, that we at least can see from the show perspective. So
a peer anyway, because even if she's going to talk to Brianna or Roger, it's just not the same thing. So yeah, I'm really glad that they didn't turn that romantic in any way because it just would have overcomplicated things.
We don't have that much time on this show. We only get 13 episodes. So come on, like, let's keep that aspect short. But I think that he kind of gave her that, you know, he gave her that boost to say, I think Brianna would be okay if you decide to go back.
Yes. We have a comment from Terry. She says Joe and Claire were really close. Frank thought they were together and they fought about it.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was something that we touched on, I think, when the Frank death episode, that he said some very horrible things about Joe in the book. But in any case, just to go back, Brianna and Roger end up meeting up the next day and taking a walk through Harvard. And she kind of discusses how she doesn't have any faith in history and she's just kind of over it. And she's just kind of jaded about life as they're on their way to her father's memorial. I didn't really... There were some scenes in this that I would have said, you know what, you could take all of that and just throw it away and give me, like, 5 more minutes with Jamie. And this is one of those scenes. I didn't really care about that particular Roger and Brianna scene. I didn't really care about the Frank Memorial scene, even though we get to see Dean Tramble, who was in, I think, either episode 1 or episode 2, who said that really sexist thing to Claire, be less sexist. Like, at the same time, I just didn't need the Roger, Brianna, or the Sandy and Claire scene.
Oh, that scene made me mad. With Sandy, Candy, Mandy, what we called her? We called her, like, every name, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the mistress.
I wanted to say, like, the nerve on this lady. Like, I understand if I'm putting myself in her shoes, I understand that she's grieving also, right? She's grieving Frank. She said that. Like, Sandy said that Frank was the love of her life. So she's grieving too, right? Okay, I understand that point. But for her to come in and basically, like, blame Claire about this, like, Sandy, Candy, Mandy, you knew Frank was married. And so I don't know what you are complaining about. Like, you knew what you were getting into when you got into it. So back up. I was hoping Claire was going to throw her drink at Sandy, Mandy, Candy. She made me so mad. I was mad at that scene.
I was
fired up.
I was irritated. I was like, okay, someone needs to stop this lady from talking.
Yes.
Because it was just so ridiculous. First of all, Claire was still married to Frank. And, okay, technically speaking, Claire never cheated on Frank. So the whole thing is that Sandy, if she was upset and grieving, fine, I get it. But she could have handled it in a much calmer way and just basically said what she had on her mind without going there. And the thing is, I think we mentioned this a couple weeks ago. So the way that divorce worked, a man could divorce a woman. It wasn't up until a certain point, women couldn't divorce men. So the thing is that Frank could have divorced Claire. And so it's really, if she's going to be complaining about how Frank didn't divorce her or that they didn't get divorced and try to blame Claire, no, it was Frank because he had the power.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just wasn't a necessary scene. Like, Sandy, shut your mouth. Like, you're a mistress. You've chosen this lot in life. This man has told you he is married. And you can sit there and say, well, if you had just let him go. No, that's not how it works. Because he could have gone whenever he wanted to. And he waited until his daughter was grown. And that's why he was there. He was waiting for Brianna to be an adult. And that was his choice.
Yeah.
Right. You know, Claire didn't force him to stay. Mm-hmm. And even though Claire stayed, you know, he could have left.
Yeah.
And he loved her. No shit, Sherlock. He loved his wife, even though she was kind of emotionally abusive. He was stuck around. And it was a toxic marriage. He still stuck around. So, Sandy, keep your mouth trapped. Keep your trap shut. And move on with your life. Okay?
Seriously.
Oh my God. If I were Claire, you definitely would have gotten slapped.
Yeah.
How dare you talk to me about my marriage of which you know nothing.
She would have been interrupted.
Yeah. That's not, no. And, you know, it's on Frank. You're responsible for your life. It's on Frank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For not leaving sooner, and that's his right. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to stay with him. I don't care if he was the love of your life, okay?
Right.
You still got so much more life.
I know. Yeah. Bye. Bye, Sandy Mandy Candy.
Bye, Sandy Mandy Candy.
Out of here.
Goodbye. Yeah. Get out of here with that scene. Didn't need it.
I knew they were going to show her, too, because mm-hmm. when they showed the previews of This Is What You've Missed, mm-hmm. they showed the door scene. So I was like, where's she coming in?
It's just never... Yeah, it's just not necessary. That scene was never necessary. But it did lead to, I understand why they did it, because it led to the moment between Brianna and Claire, where Claire finally has to admit, well, one, that is Frank's long-term mistress, mm-hmm. and that he was going to marry her, and that, two, she has found Jamie. Mm-hmm. And so that gives Brianna, oh my gosh, finally, it gives me a reason to actually kind of like Brianna. Because I just liked how the actress handled those scenes. I was like, okay, this is a lot better. Does someone have something to say in the chat room?
Yeah. So Eric adds, First, Elizabeth says, they made show Frank a much better person than book Frank. And Eric Jackson says, if Frank left sooner, he would have lost Brianna. Which, okay, I get that. Mm-hmm. But still, for this woman to come in and blame it on Claire, no.
Right.
It's Frank's choice to do what he did, and he did it. It's just that the woman had no right to say those things to her.
Right.
So, at all. She doesn't know anything about their marriage or what they were actually going through.
And her marriage is really none of Sandy's business in the first place.
Yep. Exactly.
Done. Done with her.
Yeah.
All right.
And we're done. It was nice to see just Brianna open up and show some empathy and compassion to her mom, because we don't really get that many scenes where they're compassionate or have a lot of empathy to each other, just because of at least not them as adults or Brianna as an adult. And so I was like, oh, okay, it's nice for her to kind of be like, well, you should go.
Yeah.
Like, you love this man.
Right. And I agree. And I think that if Brianna hadn't been so accepting of it and kind of, like, pushing Claire, I don't know that Claire would have gone.
Yes.
So I liked seeing that, because we know that Claire and Brianna have had such kind of a troubled relationship. I liked that Brianna was the one that kind of pushed Claire in, like, to go, right? I liked seeing that. I liked seeing their relationship kind of come to a place of, like, peace. I don't know when she's saying, like, I don't know if I'll ever see you again. That makes me kind of shocked. You know, I'm not even a mom, and I'm like, oh, my God, I don't know if I could do that, you know? But I understand she has this, obviously, thing going on in the past, this emotional pull. So, I mean, but I liked to see that Brianna was the one that kind of stepped up and was like, no, you need to go, you know? So I like that.
I feel like Brianna needed to be the one to do that. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, Claire couldn't have gone. But I will say this. I didn't really pick up on Claire as a motherly figure as much until the last maybe couple of episodes, especially at the end of season two and just as we were leading up to this in season three. So I wasn't really expecting her to say, oh, I can't go because of Brianna until this episode, which is good, because if I hadn't seen this, then I would have not, I probably wouldn't have liked Claire as much, because how could you just leave your child without caring? Mm-hmm. But it just didn't seem like she did really care about leaving Brianna until this episode.
Yeah.
At least from the show.
Yeah, I think it kind of... You know, I don't think she had really gotten to the point where it was, like, a confirmed choice yet. So, it was... Originally, they go to Scotland, they're just trying to hunt down Jamie to see if he's even alive. And to kind of, like, reveal to Brianna where she's really essentially from. And it wasn't until this episode where it became an actual, you can now yes, it's confirmed. Yeah. You can and you should go back. Mm-hmm. So to that extent, I understand why we didn't really see her like struggle with the choice for Brianna, because she hadn't really had to make the choice yet. But with that said, I think, you know, even the point of Brianna saying, you know, or Claire having the fear of Jamie not remembering her. And I was like, what?
I know.
What are you talking about? Like, yeah. How much did you go through with this man that you think in 20
but
years?
It has been 20 years.
No.
That's a long... I mean, not that Jamie would, but I could see where Claire's coming from worrying about it.
I could see... So I could see the insecurities as a woman. Like, I could see the insecurities. Definitely. Like, oh my gosh, my hair. And she's, like, looking at her wrinkles. And from that aspect, like, I could understand that. But yeah, when she said, I don't know if he's even going to remember me, I'm like... Come on.
He was married to you.
Yes, this is your husband.
He was violently raped by a man to protect you. He had two children with you. He fought a war with you. Yeah. Like, yeah. He's not going to forget about you. Like,
I mean,
he's not going to forget about you.
I kind of got what she meant by it, though. Yeah. Even if she didn't literally mean that he might forget her, maybe she was just worried that because it's been 20 years, he's lived this whole other life that she doesn't know.
Mm-hmm. He's moved on, maybe.
Yeah, maybe he has another wife, or maybe he just has a whole other circumstance. Mm-hmm. Like, plus, he went through the Battle of Culloden, and maybe she's worried that changed him because he could have been near death.
He can become a different man, but if the fear is that he would forget about her or not love her anymore, I mean, I don't know. I never had any epic love, so I can't look back at my very short life and be like, you know what? That dude, Aaron, this is a fictional character, from when I was 5, he is like the love of my life. And if I ever ran into that kid as an adult, I mean, I'm sure he's very different. I'm like, no, I don't know. No. And that makes no sense because it's 5 years old. But yeah, I think it makes total sense that he would, you know, still hold a flame for Claire, and that it's kind of dumb to think that he wouldn't. His life may go on, and there might be things that we discover about his life that imply that, yeah, he has moved on, but that doesn't mean, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean, like, she moved on too, but,
yeah,
you know, if he walked through her door, if it were reverse, she'd be like, okay, bye, Frank. It's so great. I'll take the house, go be with Sandy, bye. You know, so she doesn't need to worry about that. But I want to make sure I'm not jumping over anything, because it's been a long work day. We're moving on to the dinner scene. Yes, the dinner scene with Claire and Roger and Brianna. Okay. I was like, this was not cut. I can't, it's harder to.
Right, remember. I know. Me too.
I'm like, I didn't have my Jamie block and my Claire block.
I know.
So at the dinner, they are discussing the fact that she's going to go. And I think there were just some really beautiful moments between, like, Brianna and Claire and, like, go ahead.
My favorite part was when they were kind of sitting by the windowsill around this point.
Exactly.
And basically, Brianna admits that she's not either of her fathers. Mm-hmm. She's just like her Claire. Mother. Yeah. I loved that.
Yeah, I thought that was a really beautiful moment of her kind of accepting her mother and feeling like she's just as strong willed as her mother. And up until that point, they had kind of only been talking about, like, oh, I'm going to miss your wedding, and I'm going to miss your baby. And I was like, what about, like, and I'm going to miss you turn into an awesome woman with an awesome career, because feminism.
Yes.
I was like, who cares about the baby and the wedding? What if she never gets married?
Like, yeah.
What if she doesn't want kids?
What if she
doesn't want kids? Right, right.
Come on, Claire. You're a surgeon in 1966. But in any, or 68, my bad, 1970. But in any case, I think that just having them bond, I wish we had just gotten more scenes like that. Mm-hmm. It was only because they were arguing all the time that it really made it hard for me to find empathy for Brianna, because I have years with Claire and I have episodes with Brianna. Right. So
one thing that I realized, I don't know if we're going to get to it later, but the murder victim, the bones.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I didn't. know what to say of that. I was like, am I missing something from seasons past? I don't know what it is.
I was trying to figure it out, too. Because first, Claire guessed the bones were about 100 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Or 150.
Said 150.
And he said 50 shy.
Which, mm-hmm. yeah.
So that's 200 years, which would be, like,
around the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then her head. I don't know if anyone in the chat room knows, like, what that's a reference to. But, yeah, I it was just something that was so small that I can really...
And they were
figure it out.
Very specific. The mm-hmm. bones were from the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. It was a white female.
Mm-hmm. Her head was cut off with not a sharp blade.
Yeah, a dull blade.
Right? Mm-hmm. I know at first, when they first saw bones, for some reason my mind just went straight to Galus, because mm-hmm. she's the only other mm-hmm. character yeah. that we've kind of been introduced from that time. But mm-hmm. then, yeah, she was burned, so that wouldn't make sense. So I don't know. Yeah, but it seemed like Claire knew, just the music that was going mm-hmm. on. I'm like, what is this about? And that I don't think we ever got any answers.
Yeah, I don't know if maybe that's information that's coming to us later.
Yeah, I have a guess, but it's based on...
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, Mrs. Zombie Mumby says, Joe said it was found in the Caribbean. And so something, I had kind of read some of the synopsises of the books, mm-hmm. and I think, I could be wrong on this, but from what I remember, one of them does take place in the Caribbean, or they go to the Americas, and so mm-hmm. I'm wondering if that's what it's foreshadowing, is something that we're going to find out.
Yeah,
Melissa K is saying it will come in the book, don't worry.
Okay.
So we're going to find out.
I figured it was something that was kind of a foreshadowing. Mm-hmm. So that's just something, but we're running a little bit short on time, so let me go ahead and wrap it up. But so we get to... the gift giving, and Roger and Brianna are giving Claire these going away gifts, and they find coins that she can use when she's back there, and a book on Scotland, and she's stolen penicillin and needles because nothing says you're a time traveler like bringing in things from the future that you definitely should not be having on you at that time. She ends up deciding to make a dress that will fit all of her little trinkets. And Roger's like, oh, you're like Batman, the utility belt. And so we get a nice little rendition of the Batman 1960s theme song as she makes her dress, which is really kind of cute and fun.
Yeah.
And kind of outside of what they normally do, so I appreciated that. But,
right.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, it was kind of fun to see that. Like you said, it's completely outside of what they normally mm-hmm. do, so it was kind of a fun little moment to kind of jar you out of, because I felt like it was kind of a mm-hmm. just very low-key episode for the most part as far as, vibes that were happening. Mm-hmm. So I liked that they kind of added that. It was oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Now I'm back in it. So
I liked it. I did, too. I love the 60s references in general mm-hmm. anyway. And also, she kind of was acting like Batman with her compartment.
Yeah.
And even though it's not high-tech the way that Batman would do it, it's still,
it is high-tech for
them.
1766, so it's it was fun to have that little snippet. And then we get the going away, and she woefully goes into the cab, and Roger and Brianna kind of seal that they're gonna try this love thing with a kiss. So I'm sure we'll get more of them. Cool. Just not next episode.
Yeah.
So
next episode, we just need Claire and Jamie, and that's
just
it.
For the fans.
Yes,
because
it's been too long.
Yes. Oh my god.
We finally get to the end, and we don't even. Apparently, budgetary wise, they couldn't really afford to go back to the stones or something.
Yeah, that's what they were saying. Yeah.
Yes. So they decided to go and just have it be through the puddle that she steps into the past.
But she loved it.
You know what I mean? She goes through the stones. We just don't see it.
Yeah.
And we get the, were you going to say something else?
No, that was brilliant the way they did that. Mm-hmm. And, I watched at the very end mm-hmm. when they were kind of talking about it mm-hmm. with the director and the writer. And mm-hmm. it was great that they, instead of showing the stones, because I feel like we've seen that so many times mm-hmm. now, it was just better to just kind of imply
there.
It and
yeah.
use
right.
the
we
puddle.
We don't need to see the whole travel from Scotland. You just get there.
Yeah.
So... she goes all there, and she sees the sign, and she walks in, and he's not there, and then she hears his voice, and I was like, oh my god, get to it.
They were showing every little thing.
Yeah. And I was like, if somebody walks in and, like, all of a sudden he's got, like, a wife and she kisses him, I was like, I'm going to vomit.
That's what I thought was going to happen.
I was worried that they were going to cut it right as she got to the door and then show us next episode. I was like, no, I can kill you. She needs to go in now.
So we get there, and he's, like, down in, like, the pressing room or the printing room or, the press. And he's like, is that you, so-and-so? I don't know who he said. Because I didn't care anymore. I just wanted them to get to it. Yes. And she's like, no.
Jordy.
It's me, Jordy. And he's like, it's me. I was like, ah, yeah, sex, sex, sex. But that's in my head. But he turns around.
I love this.
And he looks at her. And then he just faints.
It was amazing.
It was the most, like, oh, that's how they're acting. Oh, okay. Oh, that's great. Like, at first I was kind of, oh.
Can I just...
A comedic beat.
Can I just say that his faint was really realistic?
Yes.
And that it couldn't have been better, and that I preferred it over him running up to her?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was a perfect kind of, like, Jamie moment, you know? I thought it was a great way to kind of reintroduce the characters together. Mm-hmm. I thought that he was going to have a wife and kids, mm-hmm. and I thought she was going to go up and see and then turn back around, and mm-hmm. I was going to scream through my TV. Mm-hmm. But so I'm so happy that it happened the way that it happened, and mm-hmm. I can't wait for next week.
And the other thing is, too, I love when they take, when they kind of flip, like, what's typically seen as, like, maybe a female fainting, but instead mm-hmm. make a male faint. Mm-hmm. So I'm so happy that's the choice they made with this.
Mm-hmm. Right. It was great to see just that reaction from him, because he's been haunted by her for, like, 20 years. Like, actually, like, he thinks he's seeing her, but she's not there. So for that to happen, I was like, oh, that's perfect. So on that note, let's go ahead into predictions. There we go. So it's just not going to happen.
Sex. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, all right. Yeah,
I know. That's basically all they showed for next episode, and it said it's extended, right?
Yeah.
So I am here for it. And if they try to throw anything else in there that's going to ruin, just give us one episode, please. Yes. Like, just one episode of happiness with Claire and Jamie. That's all. And then you could get back to all the trouble that they're going to have to go through. Just one. That's all I want.
I'm thinking it's going to be the wedding episode, so it's just going to be all about them being in bed together. And I am totally happy with that. You can extend that for as long as you want. You can just give that to me. Just give it to me. Just give it to me. I know you're going to end it, probably. My prediction is that it's going to end with his wife walking in.
No.
Like,
no.
I just get that feeling.
No. I need a full episode. I need a full episode of happiness, please. But,
yeah, it's going to be a full episode right into the very last minute. And that's going to be like, oh, gosh, darn it. All right.
We have one more chat comment that I think is kind of important. Mm-hmm. Rosalva Cardiel says, in the book, he faints when she touches him.
Aww. That's Jamie. So sweet.
All right, guys. So I think that wraps up this episode of the Outlander After Show on AfterBuzz. As always, please give us a rating and all that kind of stuff on iTunes, comment on YouTube. As always, this is a volunteer-based after show, so we're here because we are fans.
Yes.
And we come here just for you. Nobody pays us to be here. As always, I'm Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow.
I'm Emily Harlan. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at OMG It's MLE.
And I'm Rachel Goodman. You can follow me on Twitter or Instagram at Rach Goodman. Also, I'm part of the Ray Donovan panel on Tuesdays, and on Sunday nights I host the Young and the Restless panel.
All right, guys, that about wraps it up. Thank you so much, and we will see you next week. Stay sexy.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.